Hey there, Elizabeth.
Hey, Sheila. So we've been friends for what, nearly 14 years now?
I think about that. Yeah, although we've been really good friends for about half of that, but that's kind of a part of our story, isn't it?
It is. Well, at least for now, we're really good friends in large part because we've learned to be honest with each other. But it's not always perfect. Nevertheless, we're learning a lot by being imperfectly honest and thought you might too.
The Imperfectly Honest podcast is for informational, educational, and entertainment purposes only. This podcast does not provide medical advice and is not intended as a substitute for the diagnosis and treatment provided by a licensed, trained physician, psychotherapist, or other health professional. This podcast expresses the individual opinions of Elizabeth, Sheila, and their guests and does not constitute professional medical or mental health services. In sharing their experiences, names, places, and other identifying information may be changed to protect the privacy of the people involved. There, Elizabeth.
Hey, Sheila. What's happening in your world today?
In my world, I'm just kind of appreciating the fact that sunny out, the weather's better. We always seem to immediately default to the weather. Doing some writing, hanging. What about you?
I'm out on a walk and it is not nice. It's windy and cold and it was hailing earlier, but I just have kind of learned that there's no such thing as bad weather, just improper clothing. So I just bundled up and got outside.
Yeah, it also sounds like if you don't like the weather, just wait a few minutes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, I was in a little bit of a funk today, in part because of the weather. So I'm glad we're doing this.
Yeah, me too.
But we had an interesting discussion about the decisions that we've made in life and how our life might be different if we would have taken a separate path from what we took in the past. And thought it might be interesting to just sort of revisit some of those forks in the road and to talk about how the decisions we made shaped the rest of our life and whether we would have done anything differently. And I guess to start in reflecting on this, I really would not have done a single thing differently. I made some decisions that didn't result in the outcome that I intentioned, but I learned a lot in the process, and all of my failures seem to have led to another success. I thought it might be helpful to share some of the things I've learned along the way. How do you feel, Sheila? Do you think you would have made some different decisions?
Not too many things. I'm, similar to you. I don't want to regret anything, and I don't think I do. I don't even really look back at anything that happened before my kids were born because that was such a life-changing and wonderful event decision that I feel like even second guessing before would color a little bit. Of what I'm trying to portray about how great that decision was. So anything I'm going to talk about's pretty much going to be after that. It's somewhat similar to a movie. You know me, I'm always throwing this stuff in, and I think it's called About Time, but I may not have it right, where the lead character can go back in time to change things. But he discovers over the course of the movie that when he goes back in time prior to his child being born, when he comes back to the present, it's a different baby. And so it's like, well, I'm not going to do that again. So it's kind of like along those lines. But yeah, I mean, I can probably come up with something where I'm kind of curious what would have happened if I had acted differently at the time and pushed forward. So, I mean, I can just bomb into it right now. I think back to years ago, and it was post-marriage. I was single at the time and was attracted to somebody, and it felt like they may have been attracted to me. And for some reason, I got very tentative about it and kind of pulled back. And I think it caused them to pull back, and then it just never happened. And I often think, I wonder what life would have looked like if I hadn't pulled back and then caused that whole effect of that. Because I do think my life now would be different. And I'm not saying I wish my life now was different. I just am curious what it would have looked like.
I kind of thought about it in life stages. So the first thing that I think about when I think about my youth is that I found things like writing and art and anything that cr required creativity and critical thinking to be really easy for me and really fun for me. And math and science was just excruciating for me. It was very difficult. I had to work three times as hard as everybody in the class to get mediocre grades. But because I went to a school that emphasized math and science as the path to success, I just kind of killed myself for most of my primary school to try to do well in math and science. And I often think about how things would be different if I would have just leaned into what I was good at. Again, I love my life and I'm happy with the path that I've taken, but I often think, if I would have put half the effort that I put into being mediocre in math and science, if I would have put half that effort into being really good at creative writing, would I be an author or a journalist or interesting to think about. But I think the main lesson that I learned there is that work doesn't need to feel hard to be worthy. And sometimes the stuff that feels easy for you, even if it doesn't seem practical, if you're really good at it and it feels easy for you, it might be something to pursue. And, I've had the opportunity to meet with thousands of entrepreneurs now, and I can say that you can make money doing pretty much anything. And the people who are really passionate and really good at something can carve an amazing life out of that. And so I hope in my next chapter I can remember that lesson.
One thought, especially because you alluded that it was a time frame when you were younger and more influenced by outside pressures and the way people felt. Not that you could have said, well, I'm just going to concentrate on the liberal arts part of my education and I'm going to fail in all the other subjects, because I recognize I'm sure that wasn't an option at that level, but there was a little bit of that. And I think, at least I'm hoping, there's more of a realization these days that we really do need to try to emphasize for kids what their talent is and try to encourage them in that direction versus everybody having, a cookie cutter education type thing. I mean, I think that's why there's different types of schools, and we try to identify what is a talent earlier than we used to, and not be so obsessed, although we're still obsessed with testing. I understand that. My background, it was years before yours, but it was the same subjects and everybody, and they're so totally different. I was like you, English writing, all that kind of stuff, any social science bent, I was interested, engaged, the more math, physical sciences, like you, it was a struggle. And I don't regret learning some of it. I don't know if I really had to have essentially 4 years of high school with math, algebra, geology, what was it? Geometry, trigonometry, more algebra, advanced. It's like, as you're saying, I feel as if giving myself more permission to make a different choice than others were pushing me towards may be a regret But I don't want to get bogged down in that whole issue because I feel like I'm taking us in the weeds a little bit. So, yeah, moving on, other things that come across your mind as your life progressed.
Well, I think I moved right into the startup world after college, and I often wonder how things would be different if I would have gotten a quote unquote real job and experienced what it was like to work at a big company. I always just felt like I sort of wanted to do things my way and figure it out on my own, which is why I gravitated towards startups. And I am proud of what I achieved with very little in a lot of those situations. But I often wonder how much further I could have gone if I would have had the opportunity to see how to work with a huge budget, for instance, and figure out how a huge company actually makes decisions and all those things. I think that that would have been valuable experience for me. And I don't know that it really matters. I think, I don't have children, but I think the advice that I want to give to all young people is I do think it's worth working for a big company for even just a year to have that experience because those are the companies that make decisions in businesses. They often are the purchasing entities. And so I think instead of jumping into a startup where you're not going to get any mentorship or anything because everybody's just sort of running as fast as they can and you're just sort of left to figure it out, which is a valuable experience. I had that experience and think that I learned a lot from it. But I think 1 year of my life and perspective wouldn't have been much to give up to have had the opportunity to have worked with a big company.
Oh, I think that's a really valid point, in so many ways, because of what you expressed, that it's a different kind of business environment, and there are so many different things you learn when it's a larger organization, and then the kind of human aspect of it, that you're dealing with a lot of different people in those organizations. And a lot of different hierarchies. And immersing yourself in it for a while, I think, is a really helpful educational piece. Because if for nothing else, it could teach you how you don't want to be, that kind of thing. And so when I look back, I stayed home for 15 years with my kids, and that I definitely, because of the relationship that I created with them, and just I wanted to. I mean, I'm not even going to say, and oh, look at how great they are because I stayed home, because that's not always the case. I mean, you have to kind of want it, and you have to put into it what needs to be put into it for it to be successful. After that period of time, my first real foray into full-time work was in a county agency situation, working for Albany County in New York. And wow, is that an education? Because essentially it's government, it's a municipality, and I was working in the court system. So I think what we're both kind of reflecting is we're thinking professionally and sometimes the experiences that we look back on and we've had, it's like, well, they weren't what we would consider, all right, we're going to stay in this, and this is our perfect job, lifelong job that we want to have, and we'll just build within it. Sometimes it's good to have that experience for a while and then move in another direction. As you said, you pretty much have been in the entrepreneurial world since you got out of college. And I'm sure there's been a lot of benefit to that. I know it. When I look at it, I've kind of worked in government, I've worked in nonprofits, I've worked in regular corporate businesses. And it's like each one was different and each one taught me something in both ways to repeat myself, taught me things that I took away and said, oh, that's a good way to go. And I took away and said, no way. Don't repeat that mistake. So,
Well, and I think on the topic of relationships, since we've talked a lot about that on our podcast, I don't regret my first marriage, well, my only marriage to date. I feel like he was the right partner for the first chapter of my life. But I think I learned a similar lesson as I learned in school, which is that relationship never felt that easy to me. I guess I always looked at it and thought, like, oh, if it was just this way and this way, then that would feel easy. And maybe I saw the potential more than tuning into how it felt, because on paper we matched up and we did have fun together, and I don't regret the time we spent together, but it never felt effortless. And I think every marriage has times in which it feels like work, but I don't think it should feel like work all the time. And I think the thing that I would do differently is I really loved the advice that Michaela and Philip Tarlow gave in the episode that we talked about relationships with them, which is to have a relationship mentor or relationship mentors. And I think part of the reason why I pursued that relationship is it was somewhat similar to the marriages that I saw with my friends' parents and things growing up, and maybe a little similar to my parents. And, you know, I've since, as I've just been on this planet for longer, I've met many couples who have a relationship that is more similar to what feels right to me. And I wish I would have had the opportunity to step back and think about what do I want my relationship to look like before jumping into a marriage.
Oh, I completely agree. Resonates. And the thought was passing through my mind as you were talking, because I know both of our circumstances. We both got married in our 20s, like early 20s, I would almost categorize it. I was probably pushing up against 25. You were even younger, if I'm remembering.
I was 25 as well,
Oh,
actually.
you were. So it was sweet spot there, 25. And I honestly, and I don't know that that's an optimum time to even have the self-awareness and knowledge to, as you just were saying, know what you really want versus what you've seen it should be. All of my children were married in their 30s, if I'm doing the math right in my head. I hope I have that right. And I really respect them for that, because I could tell in each circumstance, in each choice, that that was something they were really factoring in, thinking about. And I'm not saying it all has to come down to just a matter of years, age, but in some ways, I think it does a little bit. I think you
Yeah.
have to, I think you have to, I don't know, to put it really bluntly or plainly, you know, you got to live a little before you know how you want to live.
Well, and I also think humans have a tendency to gravitate toward what is familiar, which is why people repeat the destructive patterns of their childhood. And I'm lucky in that I had a pretty white picket fence childhood with loving parents, and their relationship has worked for them, but it wouldn't work for me. But I think I gravitated towards some similar patterns because they felt familiar to me. And so I don't know, I guess now that I have a little bit of a blank slate, I'm trying to really think through all the things that I gravitate toward naturally, and then second guess myself, do I really want that, or am I gravitating toward that because that's just what I've known to date? And I think that's kind of an important question to ask in life in general, but especially in relationships.
I think we would all, if we thought about it a lot, that concept that Sometimes we do gravitate towards what's familiar, even though it may not be what we ultimately want or what provides us with a joyful comfort. It just provides us with some kind of comfort because it's familiar. Kind of expanding a little bit is good. And so,
Yeah.
yeah, so we've covered professional, we've covered somewhat personal relationships. So, I mean, this may not really have a place here, but I'm just wondering because you grew up in Michigan, and then it feels like you've moved to Colorado. And even though you're in Montana now, it's kind of the West. So you've kind of exhibited a westward bent since you were became an adult. And do you have any regrets about that? Do you wish you had tried living? I mean, you still have plenty of time to do this, but this is about past regrets. So we're only dealing with what our lifetime has produced so far. Do you wish you would have explored different areas over the last 40 something years?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. Not really. I traveled a lot in college. I studied abroad. I studied abroad in high school. And even though Montana is geographically similar to Colorado, they're very different. So I feel like I've had two very different experiences from there. And I've really experienced two very different communities in Colorado. I lived in Boulder and then I lived in Vail. So I feel like I've had enough experiences that I'm to be a well-rounded person at this point. But I am open to exploring different locations from here. And I am really questioning whether the West is the right place for me anymore. How about you?
Yeah, I was in New York until I turned 50. I mean, I think that's when I eventually moved to Colorado, and I loved it there. I mean, I was actually just thinking about Boulder last night, having the memories of Boulder, and the regret I have, I honestly think that if I had had family closer by who and family who like enjoyed visiting Boulder, because nobody in the family really was like, Colorado, we don't want to go there. They weren't skiers, nothing was really calling for them to say, oh, because that's a lot of that time that's the case with family visiting. They like the area that you're in too, in addition to they want to see you.
Right.
So I would have to say, now I'm on the East Coast and it's okay. I remember that. I remember what the East is like. But if somebody came to me and said, all right, you can live in a region and you can have as many people and friends nearby as you want. It's all up to you to just pick it and they will appear. I think I would have to say I would have stuck my ground, stuck the landing in Boulder.
So I think the most important thing that I learned from my move to Boulder is that sometimes the impractical choices are actually the best choices. There are so many reasons why I should have stayed in Michigan to go to college. It was just logistically easier. It was much more economical, but there was just this part of me that felt like I was meant to move to Colorado. And it forever changed the trajectory of my life in a positive way. It also forever changed the trajectory of my parents' life because they spend half the year in Colorado now. And that's been a huge part of our relationship and their enjoyment. And I'm just going to kind of remember that going forward because I feel like I'm going to be making some fairly unconventional choices over the next few years. And I imagine 10 years from now, I'm going to look back and maybe the most unconventional choices that I will be making will be the best ones. And I think my growth edge is to just trust that that might be true because I've spent a lot of time second guessing my decisions in the past, and that hasn't really changed anything for me. So I'm just going to try to sort of do what feels right and trust that it'll all work out. And if it doesn't work out, I'll learn a lot in the process.
I feel like we are developing a theme because I feel like the last podcast, when we talked about online dating and reactions, had a similar takeaway embedded in that. It's like trust your instincts, even if, as you say, it didn't seem like the best choice, the right choice. Sometimes it is, and it may not show it immediately or for a while. Which is hard because then you're living through all those years and you're regretting. But that was very interesting to hear. I'm glad I didn't know if I should talk about geography because I'm thinking geography with regrets, but it brought up good stuff, I think.
I think so too. Well,
Yeah.
we'll have to do this again in a couple of years to see how those forks in the road went. But I don't know. For me, the bad decisions that I've made have just sort of given me more confidence because I've figured out how to get myself out of those situations that I got myself into. And so now I just kind of feel like I'll figure it out. If I take a wrong turn, I'll find my way back. And I actually remember one quick story. So my friend gets lost a lot, and she always says, "I'm not lost. I know I'm going the wrong way." And I think that's such a good metaphor for life.
Oh, I love that. I do. I really do. That is such a good metaphor for life. Yeah. And it's a nice way to kind of placate your feeling of guilt too. It's like, no. So it's funny because I actually came across a quote yesterday, and it may or may not be applicable here, but I'm feeling it is a little bit. So here's the quote. One day, the mountain that is in front of you will be so far behind you, it will barely be visible in the distance. But the person you become in learning to get over it, that will stay with you forever. And that is the point of the mountain.
I love that.
I think it fits in. It can be tweaked. Challenges, decisions we've made that we recognize had more negatives than positives are the mountain.
I love it. I love
Yeah.
it. I'm excited to see what that mountain looks like behind us. And
Yeah,
with that, I
me
think we
too.
should close it out. Until
I think
next
we
time.
should too. Okay. Good talking to you, Elizabeth.
Bye.
Bye.
The Imperfectly Honest podcast is for informational, educational, and entertainment purposes only. This podcast does not provide medical advice and is not intended as a substitute for the diagnosis and treatment provided by a licensed, trained physician, psychotherapist, or other health professional. Note that, notwithstanding that any of the guests on this podcast may be licensed professionals, no one on this podcast is providing or seeking to provide the listeners of this podcast with any medical or health services. You should not rely on the information or content presented during this podcast, and you should not make any health or medical related decision based in whole or in part on such information. Consult a healthcare professional licensed in your state for all matters relating to your health, and do not disregard any medical advice, diagnosis, and/or treatment provided by your healthcare professional. This podcast expresses the individual opinions of Elizabeth, Sheila, and their guests, and does not constitute professional medical or mental health services. In sharing their experiences, names, places, and other identifying information may be changed to protect the privacy of the people involved.